All right, so last time we got together, we were in part three. Is that correct? Part three. We're in part four tonight. But part three, let's go ahead and look at some things here. And then I'm going to go back to a scripture that I was just about completing, or I did complete, but I sped it up, and I want to go back and camp out a little bit. So can we do that? And then so if it sounds like I'm repetitive, I'm not. I'm just trying to get it deeper into our spirits and not just run away from it. But part three, we've been talking about the power of the tongue and those different things, and about our words, because they matter. They matter the way we talk. They matter the way we talk, because the direction of our life goes in the direction of our words, or our words carry us towards the direction of life and destiny. And, you know, they always say, you are what you eat. I believe you are what you say. Either you're blessed or you're not blessed. Either you're the head or not the tail. I mean, you're above and not beneath. Bust coming in, go out in the city of the field. You know, you have to declare those things. So let's go to Luke chapter 6, 43 through 49. Let's look at that one more time. And not to belabor it again, but just to go over it as a recap. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 49. And let's take a look at this. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? Next verse. For every tree is known by his own fruit. Now think about this for a second. I was going to teach something I didn't teach last time. Every tree is what? Known by its own fruit. You're known by your own fruit. So don't let somebody plant into your life, into your vineyard, into your hedge, into your orchard, whatever. Don't let anybody plant something that doesn't belong there. In other words, don't let the devil plant into your mind seed that doesn't belong there. Let me try that one more time. Read it again. For every tree is known by his own fruit. My fruit that I want is from God. I don't want your fruit. I don't want what you say. I don't want what the world says about me. And so many times we allow our minds to be cultivated and impregnated, if you will, with the seeds, with lies and deception and all these different things. And then we produce fruit that doesn't belong to us. Does that make sense? We can't do that. We got to get that out of us, okay? For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. Next verse. A good man out of the good treasure. Remember, that's the safe deposit box. That's the place where you put good treasure. Of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So if you got a good treasury of information, good knowledge of the Word of God, a good understanding of how God feels about you, then you can pull that out. And that'll be coming out of your life, okay? It'll be proof. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his what? His mouth speaketh. So we know that out of the abundance of the heart, there's an overflow. So whatever's in your heart's going to come out. Is that right? That's why we can talk to people, and then, you know, again, first 5 minutes, first 3 minutes, first 2 minutes of conversation, bleh. Come on. How was your day? My day was bleh. Well, that may be a reality, okay? Maybe it was bleh. Or my life is bleh. But that, in the words of faith, in the words of life, and speaking positive, again, this isn't, you know, some type of healthy humanistic thinking, but when you speak the Word of God and you speak what God says about you, you cast down those things that cause you to go back and to regress and to fall into the entrapments of the enemy. So again, there's this overflow. And again, it's not denying reality. Yeah, maybe you had a bad day, but is it a bad day every day? You know what I mean? You talk to the person, it's always bad. The economy's always bad. The guy in the White House is always bad. You know, everybody's bad. You know, so you get the point. So out of the abundance. So So flip that around to speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. Man, how's your day? Praise God, it was a great day, man. God's good. God's good. God's good. I'm alive. Praise God, everything's awesome, man. God's good. You're not lying. People go, well, you're lying. No, he's a good God. He took care of me. I'm not dead. I mean, you know, I'm good. You know, I'm still standing. All right, so we'll get past that there. But remember, the Word of God functions as a spiritual law. It is bound to perform by it. It's a spiritual law. Remember talking about electricity. Again, the same law. Electricity is wonderful. It's putting power in here right now. You know, we're enjoying this. But if I get up on top of the roof or into the ceiling here and start messing with wires I don't know about, it's not going to be good, is it? You know, you might find me a month later because I mess with the laws. I shouldn't mess with the laws of electricity, especially if I don't know what I'm doing. So we have to understand that with the Word of God. It has a spiritual law connected to it. Amen. So we talked about that last time. Won't belabor that anymore. All right. So out of the abundance of the heart, man, the overflow. And let me tell you, you cannot conceal who you are. Let me try this real quick. You cannot conceal who you are. Your mouth will give you away. You can fake the smile, oh brother, oh, you know, like we do when we come to church, oh, I'm so happy. You know, we can do that, but as soon as the mouth opens, right? There it goes. Remember this, said it last time, you could change the world, your world, by changing your words. You can change your world by changing your words, and that's an absolute truth. Okay, so we need to realize that and recognize that. Okay, so we're going to leave that. That was last time. See, I didn't spend a lot of time with it. I could have. And we were talking about, we were at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. Let's go back there because I want to read it in a different version. And I actually want to just go over it and break it out some more because I felt like I was rushing to get out of here. To compress it all out, not to get out of here, but just to compress it all in. And I don't like when I do that, so I want to go back to that. Let's read it first in the King James, and then I'm going to read another version to you, and then we're going to break this down a little bit. Is that cool? And that begins part four. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, I believe it's going to be, yeah. Okay, so for though we walk in the flesh, or we live in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So our combat is not fleshly. You know, we argue with people, we get mad at people, we do have enemies, we do have these different things. But in the spiritual law of the Word of God, in the spiritual law of God, we don't war in the flesh. Okay, so we know that. Next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not part of the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Next verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Next verse. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, so we're going to break it down in another version. But what does it have to do with the word of faith? Well, it has everything to do with the word of faith and everything to do with the way we speak, is because we have to recognize and realize, again, the spiritual warfare conditions, boundaries, and the law, the spiritual law, is that it's not in the fleshly abilities of us. So it has to be, obviously, the spiritual aspect of warfare, which is of God. So how do we fight with God against our enemy? And our enemies, by the word of God. Okay, so let's look at, this is called an understandable version. It's just a different translation, and I have all kinds of translations I have access to. But look at this, and you can't get it up here, but I could read it to you. It says, for although we live in the world, i.e. in a human body, we do not wage war for God and against evil on a worldly level. Okay, so we know that. It's pretty basic. We don't fight in that way. But you'd be surprised how many Christians want to use their tongue against fellow Christians. Come on now. Or use their tongue against fellow people or people, you know, in society, humans, friends, whatever. You know, we just come against people and use our tongue and think that's going to be the answer. And it's not. It's actually very carnal. Okay? So we don't use it on a worldly level by using the tactics of unsaved people. I love this translation. We don't use the tactics of unsaved people. See, I don't get to accomplish God's will on Satan's principle. I accomplish God's will on God's principle. But many people want to accomplish God's will on Satan's principles, and it doesn't work that way. So this is why, again, we have to control our tongue. We're talking about the tongue probably for quite a while now, and quite into the distance. So you may not like me by the end of all this, but it's okay. All right? Don't be hung by the tongue. All right? So using the tactics of unsafe people, for the weapons of our warfare are not like the world's, which rely on human ingenuity and unspiritual principles. Pretty basic. But they are empowered by God to overthrow satanic fortifications. So what are these fortifications? Fortifications? What is this whole thing, fortresses and all this of the enemy? What are we doing here? Well, first of all, the battle for every believer, first of all, is found in your mind. That's the first place. If you would not rent your mind out to the enemy and to what other people say, you probably would think clearer and think better about yourself. But over time, we are affected by what people say, and it causes our minds to be crowded with what they say, and before you know it, we say what they say. And God's saying, what? See, and he can't agree with us because we begin to pray. We pray things that they're not even scriptural. They're not even spiritual or scriptural principles, and we want God to perform that word and make that word happen. He watches over his word to perform it.
Right.
I'm not getting any help here, but this is still good. I like it. They're empowered by God to overthrow satanic fortifications, which, verse 5, we overthrow vain reasonings and every lofty ideal raised against the knowledge of God, as revealed through the gospel. So here we go again. In spiritual warfare, in the whole spiritual law, the whole concept of spiritual law, we have to pull down those vain reasonings, those things that were spoken against us. Casting down actually means destroying imaginations of false arguments. So again, why am I bringing this all out? Because the enemy wants to destroy you, first of all, through your thought patterns, and then out of your thought patterns, your mouth, the overflow begins to speak it. We as believers have to stop speaking what the devil says or we think or these imaginations and then begin to declare the word of the Lord. Whatever it is going on in our lives, we speak the word of the Lord. It's not denying reality. You know, if you're going through a hard time, as we all do, that's a reality, isn't it? Come on, it's a reality. If you've got problems, you whatever it is, financial, that's a reality. Faith doesn't take that reality and deny it. Faith says, I am going to triumph over you by the word of God, because here's what my God, which is greater than my situation, says about me, and I'm going to say that. Because if I say anything opposite, I make him a liar, I make it of none effect, and I make myself void of the promises of God. See, we don't get the promises of God just because we're children of God. Many times we have to declare and speak and claim and receive the promises of God. We have to. Okay? So in that people say, well, what's that got to do with the warfare? It's got everything to do with the warfare, because that's the whole battle. I'm telling you, the battle arena for you and I is our minds, and it affects our mouth, doesn't it? It does. It really does. And we have to learn this again if we're going to walk in great faith. And that's what all this is about. This is the whole teaching that we're working towards, is walking in faith, especially the last days. We've got to overcome what's happening around us, the propaganda and the false prophets and false prophecies and the scare tactics and wherever it's coming from. And we've got to be sound in mind. And you can only do that through the Word of God. Okay, so let me give you this last part of this. I like this translation a lot. So he says here, and take captive our every thought to make it obey Christ. I love the way it says it. To take it and make it obey Christ. I'm going to take my thought, I'm going to make you obey Christ. If you really grab hold of what I'm teaching you, and it will change your life forever. Because every thought that is not of God, every thought that's negative, every thought that the enemy places against you, well, you're going to die. Oh, there's a lump. You know what? Oh, that's it. You're finished. What? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, man, you got an ache. Well, it's probably cancer. And then people go, you'd be surprised how many Christians repeat it. Yeah, I know Granny had it, and I think I got it too. I'm not going to say that. I don't care what Granny had. I'm not part of that tree. Oh, yes, you are. It's hereditary. I'm in a new tree. It's called the cross. I'm in a new family. And though there may be some realities there, I'm still going to speak the Word of God. Maybe today it stops with me. And I'm not going to pass it on. I'm not going to let it go on.
Well, that's just too much work, Pastor. Can't you just pray for me?
No. No, you have to do it. And you'd be surprised how many people say at the time, well,
it's all in my family. Daddy got it, Granny had it, and Granny's cat had it.
Well, so what? They had it. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
Flip this or any place you want it to go. Finances.
Well, Dad was a bum and broke, and I'm a bum and broke, you know.
No. We're not going to do that. We're not going to allow our mouths to speak those things. We're going to declare the word of the Lord. And you say, how does this fit for today? Well, just people today let's just use prophecies and stuff that's going on the earth. People are so fearful in the church. Because they hear these prophecies and even the word of God in the book of Revelation, and they get all freaked out. And then, where's God at? He's everywhere he said he would be. He's better than Visa. Come on, he's going to be there. He's going to be right where he said he's going to be. You just got to find him in the Word and hold that fast, that confession of faith.
Right.
But it's in the mind. I want to hammer that again. It's in the mind. You got to learn to control your mind. Mm-hmm. You got to learn. Bring that to make it obey Christ. I'm going to make you obey me. What I'm teaching you is not a name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You got to work at this. You're going to have to go home and get your spiritual weights out and start working out. This isn't for I lay hands on you and all of a sudden, you know, you're Mrs. and Mr. Faith. This is where you and I have to, we got to work this thing out.
Right.
And I'm not telling you it's going to happen overnight. For years I worked on this, and for years more I will continue to work on controlling my thoughts and controlling what I say, because I don't want the opposite of it.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, I learned a lot because of the complexities of my life, those things that I had, and I really, really was delivered in a great way. All right, verse 6, and we are prepared to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. And so the writer here believes this was dealing with the church of Corinth. They were dealing with an unrepentant believer. So very powerful start out for tonight. We have to learn to control what comes in, bring it to the obedience of Christ. That's all part of the spiritual law, all part of the spiritual warfare. You have to train your brain. I want you to write that down. You got to train your brain. You got to train your brain. You have to. You have to. Just don't think anything and then just start saying anything. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. If it don't line up with the word, get rid of it. And I promise you, God's not going to talk negative to you. I mean, what kind of father would he be? He's not like that at all, because his word guarantees he's not like that. Okay? Okay. I wrote this down. I felt like I was inspired to write this down. I'll just read it to you if you want to write it down. It says, our mind, dealing with our mind, thinking must be renewed by the word of God. Then our tongue can release the power of faith, and which will bring you to the works of God. All right? It's our stinking thinking that leads to our stinking speaking. Let me try that again. It's our stinking thinking that leads to our stinking speaking. We must trust His word. Watch this. We must trust His word with our natural life as much as we trust Him with our eternal life. Do you know there's people that trust God that if they die and go to they're going to go to heaven? Okay, I'm saved. They trust Him with that more than they trust Him that He'll take care of them and pay their light bill, or heal their bodies, or take care of them, get it through the situation they're in. It's true. If it weren't true, then why are we so fearful, so worried, so dependent upon people, so dependent upon others? We're codependent, when we should be completely dependent upon God. If He saved my soul and I know I'm going to go to heaven, you hear people, I'm going to heaven, praise God, I'm saved, sanctified, I feel the Holy Ghost. And then you tell them they could be healed. Well, I don't know about that. God wants to bless you, man. He wants to get you out of that situation. I don't know. That sounds pretty big order right there. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And the churches we've all been a part of, you got people just mealy-mouthed God, but yet they trust them to close their eyes to this earth and go to eternity with Him. That's weird to me. Why don't we trust Him in all aspects of life? See, this is what faith is. Faith is trusting God in the totality. And this is what made Paul such a tremendous apostle and others tremendous men and women of God, because they walked this fearless faith. They were like, look, if I die, I die. I'm going to be in eternity, but right now I'm going to conquer on this earth. I have overcoming faith. I have conquering faith. I have faith that overcomes the grave. I hope I'm in the right church, because this is good stuff, and it's healthy for us. We need to see this. Okay, I told you you're probably not going to like me too much, but I love you, and I want you to grow, and I want to grow more. So let's turn the corner here. I have so much scripture to give you. That's why I'm trying to be gentle and trying to not overwhelm you. Go to Mark chapter 11. Let's go there for a minute, verse 19 through 26. The word spoken. The spoken word of God is creative, man. It's a creative power. We got to see this, okay? All right, what do you got there? Mark 11, 19, yep, okay. And when evening had come, He went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Remember, He cursed it? It was supposed to have figs. It had the leaves thereof, but it didn't. Okay, had the fruit. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto Him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, let's get the better translation is this, is really in the Greek, it should say, have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. No, have the God kind of faith. Okay, so He's given them an illustration. Remember, God will not ask you to do something that you can't do. There's nothing in this word that He will ask you to do that you cannot do. So Jesus is teaching a principle here. All right, next verse. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever saith unto this mountain, let's read that again. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, you want to highlight that, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now notice this. He says, shall say. You got to say to the mountain. Is that right? You got to speak to it. But then you got to give that mountain direction. Where do you want that mountain to go? Some people just say, well, I speak to this and that. No, what do you specifically want it to do? What do you specifically want God to do? What do you specifically want the outcome to be? That's why it's, you know, people say, I have an unspoken prayer request. I'm not praying for you. That's so unbiblical. Well, if you have it unspoken, you talk to God. How can I agree in faith with you if it's unspoken? You could be wanting my wife or my house or my car or, you know, I don't know, my wallet. I'm not going to agree with you. But if you say, Pastor, I want to agree, you know, that God would just heal my body because I believe by his stripes I am whole. Phew! We got a touch. We can agree, right? We have something to grab hold of. So notice this as we break this down, that whosoever shall say, so you got to say something. You got to be specific of the target. Then you got to say what you want done. Be thou removed and cast into the sea. I want this sickness out of my body. I want this financial disaster off my life. And shall not doubt. Where? In his head? No, you're going to doubt in your head. Did you know you can have a heart full of faith and a mind full of doubt? Absolutely. You can have a heart full of doubt, a mind full of doubt and a heart full of faith. It happens. Why? Because we deal with that constantly. We deal with our issues of trying to comprehend. So shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall what? Come to pass. So you got to speak it. Is that right? You have to speak it. So the word of faith is activated. The creative power of God is activated by speaking. It doesn't just happen. It's amazing how many people have their Bibles, right? And you know what? It's like a lucky charm. It's a rabbit foot. It's I dream of genie. It's a genie in a bottle. The word of God will do nothing for you until you release the word of God and speak the word of God. It can sit on your coffee table till it gets so much dust on it you can't see it. And it ain't going to bless your house. Having a Bible in your house doesn't bless you. Speaking the word out of it blesses you. Oh, I need some help here. That's why you see a lot of the older church folk, they got their Bible in the back of the car, and it's all bent up from the sun, and that's to keep them from getting a ticket. Y'all didn't know that, did you? You don't give a church lady a ticket, do you? The guys I've worked with in law enforcement, yeah, you do. Okay? So let's break this down one more time. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So you got to say to the mountain. You got to be specific about the mountain. Be thou removed. What do you want that mountain to do? I want it to get out of my life. And shall not doubt in his heart. What is the heart? That's your spirit. That's your inner man. Listen, you can have a head full of doubt. And a heart full of faith. You can. Because we deal in carnality as far as life itself. We are sight, sound, touch, smell. We're people of senses. Is that right? So we deal with those things. But again, if we're going back to 2 Corinthians 10 with the warfare and going into the spiritual law of warfare, I bring those thoughts to Christ. I make it obey. I make those thoughts obey so that I can bring it to his obedience. All right? To the obedience of Christ. So, you know, people say, well, I have no doubt. Well, we do. We fight that. But again, it's the inner man, And we'll get into that later. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. See how many times saith is there? Mm-hmm. Speak it. But you have to believe it. You can't just speak it and not believe it. See, a lot of people do that with God. They'll just do little mantras. Well, God's not into mantras. Anybody could do mantras. I've been in Nepal where they do over a million plus mantras by spinning the big prayer wheels. I've been with some monks, hung out with some monks, had some tea with them. And I'm like, really? Is how you pray? I'm like, man, let me worship God. You guys are freaking me out. We're witnessing to him. But listen, for verily I say unto you that whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. You don't doubt it. You're going to have it. All right, next verse. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. What do you desire? Remember, in this context of desire, it doesn't mean fleshly desires, lustful desires. It doesn't mean that. Oh, God, I desire this guy's wife or whatever. That's not what he's talking about. The desire would come from God. The desire would be found in the promises. Lord, I desire to be more like you. Or God, I desire to be financially strong so I could do more for the kingdom. God, I desire these things. I desire to be a greater soul winner. Whatever it is, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. But notice it says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. You got to pray. That's speaking again. We don't pray, we're not supposed to, we don't pray our own desires in the sense that, again, that it's selfish, but we also should not pray words that are unscriptural. Right. If you want your prayers answered, I'm going to give you a sure way of doing it, okay? It's not a formula. It's not going to cost you a dime. Pray the word. Pray the word. If you pray the word will work. If you don't pray the word won't work. Just like the Bible sitting on the coffee table. It doesn't matter. Big deal. It's a Bible on a coffee table. There's no magic in that Bible. But when you speak the word, yeah, it comes alive. It comes from that logos to the rhema. It becomes that energized word, that pregnant word. See, a lot of times we're barren in life because we don't sow the seeds of God into our lives. We mostly sow the doubts, the fears, the tangibility, what's happening to me right now. And we say, well, that's reality. No, faith is greater than reality. Did you know that faith is greater than facts? Yes, it is. Faith is greater than facts. There's no doubt the fact that Lazarus was in that grave. That's a fact. And what did the family say? He stinketh by now. What did Jesus say? Yeah, everybody get out of here. Come on, Lazarus, get up. Right? His faith, the faith of God, have faith in God, but the faith of God did what? Rose him from the dead. So we have to learn that same principle. And a lot of times you and I negate. How do I say this without being offensive? Because I had to be offended. God is not obligated to answer my prayers because I'm his child and I pray whatever I want to pray and say, God, okay, you have to do this. God responds to his word. Now, he understands when we're trying to say something. We don't have to be eloquent and King James, you know, thou goddest and heavenest. You knoweth my heart desireth, you know, and pull out all the King James, you know, Greek and Hebrew. But again, if I pray the word of God, I'm praying the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is, what? In heaven. Jesus gave us that whole model of the Lord's Prayer. He gave us a whole model for a reason. Not that we would, that's not what that was for. It's been used for so long as a ritual. It's on a mantra. I teach on this, and maybe one day I will, but it's a tremendous formula of prayer. It is. It's a great guideline that he leaves in there. But I got to wait for another time. So therefore I say to you, what things soever desire, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Again, the key there, that I see in all this, right, the operative word is desire. Because the desire has got everything to do with God. I desire that you be in good health. I desire that you prosperous. I desire this for you. I desire that for you. I desire this for you. In the American Christianity, we've turned that desire around and said, well, I desire, you know, whatever. Is it wrong to desire that? No, it's not. And you do speak specifically, you do pray specifically. But according to the foundations of faith and to get a mouth that is full of faith, we have to start speaking the will of God and begin by saying, God, your desire, what do you want to do? That's why Jesus, again, going back to the formula, thy will be done on earth as it is in what? Heaven. The will is the desire of God. The desire is the will of God. Does that make sense? So what I'm desiring what he wants. This is powerful. And when you begin to live that way and confess that way and speak that way and pray that way and believe that way, you in heaven are in great connection. And God can agree with your prayers. Again, many of our prayers are negated because we don't pray scripturally. We don't pray according to the word of God. We pray emotions. We pray this. We pray that. But we never pray specifically. Okay? So we have to be careful about that. Okay, is there another verse on that one I gave you? Yeah, I'm going to take you down to 26. And when you stand praying, here we go. When you stand praying. So he said pray, right? Are we praying now? We're praying again. And guess what? We're speaking, right? Forgive. Oh, man. Rats, Judy. That was it right there, dude. Oh, thanks, Lord. Remember, I'm doing his will, right? I'm praying the desires of the Lord. What does he want me to do? Forgive. This is a linchpin right here. This is a whole big key here. If you have ought, I don't really know what an ought is, but if you find one, let me know. If you have an ought or a problem, an argument, whatever, against any, against who? Any. Well, God, you know I don't really... Any. They did me wrong. Any. Right? Don't we have prejudices? We do. We say, well, Lord, I would, but you know them. And you know how Ronnie is. And God's going to be like, hey, wait a minute. You got a big, giant telephone pole on your eyeball there. Leave Ronnie alone. He's got a small speck. Leave him alone. No. When we stand praying, forgive, and if you have ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Why would he throw that in there? Well, obviously he's throwing it in there because he wants you to forgive, but he's throwing it in there because he wants you to pray specifically according to his will. And he doesn't want there to be any baggage and any bondage or anything that keeps us from his will. The word of faith, speaking the words of God. And forgiveness, unforgiveness will destroy your prayer life.
Right.
Again, there's so many people, I have the right to be bitter. No, you have the right to be better.
Yeah.
You don't have the right to be bitter.
Yeah.
Let it go. Well, you don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Jesus was on the tree, on the cross,
right.
Naked. Unashamed. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in any moment, he could have called legions of angels.
Right.
At any moment, he could have negated the whole process and plan of God. He said, man, let's try this another day. Right now, I'm not feeling up to this. Just wipe them out. He didn't do that, right? Aren't you glad? That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. And we got another verse there. But if you do not forgive, yikes. See how the word gets you? If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. He's not going to forgive you. Let that sink in for a minute. That's pretty heavy, right? So the word of faith is connected to forgiveness. The desires of God for you are they're tied into forgiveness. All of this is connected together. Remember, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is not just a matter of the heart. But forgiveness is also a matter of the mouth. Sometimes you got to go up to somebody and say, man, I forgive you. Sometimes God will require that, won't he? I'm glad when I just have to pray forgiveness. I don't really like saying to anybody. But, you know, if he does, he does. And we have to do that. Okay, so the desire, if you desire, listen to this. I want you to hear this here, that I wrote down. If you desire victory, then pray it or say it. Whatsoever you desire when you pray. What do you desire? Say that. Declare that. If you don't, then pray and speak defeat, and you will get it. Let's read that one more time. If you desire victory, then pray it or say it. If you don't, then pray and speak defeat, and you'll get it. Just talk garbage. Just talk garbage. Just say, yep, grandpa and grandma died of this. I'm going to die of it too. You know, I can already feel it happening. Blah, 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 blah. You know, gas is this much. We're not going to make it. We're all going to die. No, me and Judy, we're going to take that handle. We're going to keep, you know, getting that, squeeze that last five nickels out of there. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Just for y'all that are watching, you need to turn off the pump when you're done and squeeze it and then hold the hose up real big. And don't care what anybody says about it. You're getting about another nickel. That or you're going to send it back to Saudi Arabia. They're going to make money off it. So I'm squeezing. You know? Yeah, shake it. Do what you got to do, man. Get something out of it. All right. But if not, then just speak defeat. We're all going down. We're all going down. This is it. The Titanic. This is the end of the world. This is it, man. We're done. We're toast. God's going to kill us. Yeah. It's in the book of Revelation. Light up a match. We're done. I mean, what kind of life is that? But if you listen to a lot of Christians, and I'm not going to go into all the whole things, come back Sunday. You know, what do you got people talking about? I can't deal with the white noise and the trash. I'm not. My life is already battling things, so I don't need negativity. I need positive, and it's found in the Word of God. Okay. All right. Let's go squeeze that handle. All right. Go to Hosea 4:6. Let's look at this real quick. We can quote the scripture, but I want you to see it. This okay? We're good? Now, we're going to stay about another 30 minutes because Ronnie and them are late, so... You could deal with them after class. I know. We saw the fire trucks. All right, watch this. My people are blessed for a lack of knowledge. Nope. My people are destroyed. They're destroyed. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We're not talking about reading, writing, and arithmetic. We're talking about the Word of God, aren't we? We're destroyed. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So it's a very powerful thing, but let me give you this definition here. When it talks about my people are destroyed, it really means to be cut off. That's the Hebrew word. It means to be cut off. To be cut off. To be cut off. Cut off from what? God's blessings. So many Christians live below what God wants to do because they're cut off from his blessings because they won't speak the blessings. They want to speak death. They want to speak the propaganda. They want to speak negativity. They want to speak whatever comes in their mind. Boom, they speak it. God doesn't put those thoughts in your mind. He doesn't put negativity in our minds. He's a positive God. I'm positive. I read about him. The devil's negative, right? For they're destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. And the word knowledge there means discernment and wisdom. It means discernment and wisdom. So we're cut off from what? Knowledge? Yes, discernment and wisdom. Where does wisdom come? From the Word of God. If you lack wisdom, pray for it. I heard an instructor one time at Bible College, he said this. He said he reads the Psalms and he reads the Proverbs constantly. He says, I read Psalms to soften my heart. He says, then I go through the Proverbs to sharpen my mind, to get understanding, to get wisdom. And this guy's a tremendous teacher and tremendous preacher. And I'm like, yeah, man. If you read the Psalms, David, man, he's always like, woo-hoo, you know. He's floating. He's loving God, man. You know, killing lions and bears and giants. But he's loving God. And then you get into, you know, Proverbs, man. It's wisdom and understanding and discernment. See, if we would do that and practice that and do those calisthenics that I spoke of earlier, those exercises, we can have that same type of mindset. But we don't train ourselves. We don't train our brains. We are lazy. I don't like you, Pastor. We are. We are lazy. We want boop, 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 instant. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes it takes a lifetime or it takes a very long time to gain certain understandings of God. This is why I tell you, if you lack someone in your area of your life, if it's healing, if it's finances, whatever, emotional thing, it doesn't matter. Find what God says about it and put that pressure, put that word pressure, put that word pressure. Oh, well, you sound like you're being repetitive. It doesn't matter. Declare it and decree it until you finally receive it. And then you start walking in that reality because God's going to agree with you. And the devil will what? Flee from you. I like that, huh? God will agree with you because he's agreeing with his word. And you're agreeing with God as well because you finally got in line. But you got to do this. Okay? Let me give you just a little more. Is this okay? Can you give me... Oh, man. I would need about... Violating natural laws that are designed to help you can be violated and kill you. Like that? Violating natural laws that are designed to help you can be violated and kill you. The same is true for violating spiritual laws. If you violate spiritual laws, it could be to your hurt. You must train your brain and tame your tongue with the Word of God. Man, I'm done. I can't do it. I would need 30 more minutes really to do this, and I'm not going to rush you guys on this. So anyhow, that's part four, man. You just train your brain. Next time we get together, man, it's going to be even more gooder. And just let me leave you with these thoughts. Train your brain, exercise. Don't be condemned by what's said today. Nobody's trying to be a spiritual giant. What we're trying to do is be successful in our life for the kingdom of God and live in the peace that God has promised us, the peace that does what? It passes all of our understanding. And walking in faith and pleasing God, you just got to get back into the Word of God. America has to get back into the Word of God. The church has to get back into the Word of God. These seem like basic things of faith. Yeah, they may seem like that, but they're not. They are actually deep-rooted truths that will really revolutionize our lives and will give us a survival rate in the last days that's higher than for those who negate the Word of God. Father, thank you for this opportunity to declare your Word and faith. We love you, and we just thank you. And I know you're helping us, and you want us to succeed. You want us, Father, to be able to... Yeah, survive in these last days, but be a strength to those that are weak. And there's only one way to be strong, and that's to exercise your word. And we know you'll watch over your word to perform it. Father, we love you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love you. Be blessed. We will see you Sunday morning.